The following shiur has been presented by Rav Shmuel Yeshaya Yaffe, Rosh Chabur Beis Medrash Gevaya, and Mechaber Sefer Shevilei Tzion, and has been brought to you by the Beis Havad Halacha Center.
Gemara in Ksuvos Daf Lamed Aleph Amud Aleph begins with a kasha from the famous quote of Rabbi Yehuda Bar Ovin that Azarik Chetz Bitchilus Arba L'Soif Arba V'Kar Shirayim Bali Chaseis Poter Shakir Tzarech Hanocha. That if someone were to throw an arrow at four Amos and Rishus Rabim, and in the middle it would rip his friend's beged, he would be putter on the beged because Akir Tzarech Hanocha. In other words, it would all be considered as one action, and therefore, Kam Lebed Rabim would dictate that the Maisa that he did that was Machayiv Misa because of Chil Shabbos, of throwing an arrow at four Amos and Rishus Rabim, would actually putter him from paying for the damages of ripping his friend's beged with the arrow. So the Gemara asks, how does this align, how does this stem with Rav Chista's Shita that we've been discussing, that if somebody steals his friend's chalev, he actually is chayev to pay for the chalev, even though he ate it and he's chayev misa, and you don't say akir tzarech hanocha. It seems to be contradictory. So the Gemara says two terusim why Rav Chista could stem with Rav Yehuda Bar Ovin. Number one, says the Gemara, in the case of the arrow, it's impossible to do one without the other. Akir tzarech hanocha. You need to have the akir for the hanocha. In other words, in order for the arrow to land on Michayev, you have to have the throwing. And therefore, the whole throwing of the arrow is classified as one action. And hence, you can have kam lev d'ravine. Whereas with regard to the chalev, theoretically, he could have eaten the chalev and ben chayev misa without actually stealing it by bending down and eating the chalev on the floor in the reshus of the baal chalev. Therefore, the stealing and the eating of the chalev are not as directly intertwined as is the whole zrikas achet together with the ripping of the beged. So therefore, only in the case of Rav Yehuda Bar Ovin is there akir tzarech hanocha and kam lev d'ravine, and not in the case of Rav Chista. No contradiction. The second Teres the Gemara says is that with regard to the arrow, once you throw it, there's no turning back. There's no pulling back. Ef shela hadure. However, with regard to the chalev, every second of the way until it gets into his mouth and even further in, he could actually pull it out and pull back. And therefore, it does not classify itself as one action to have the rule of kim levi d'ravine. That is the Gemara. I would like to share with you a fascinating story which really happened and pertains to numerous details on our Daf Lamed Aleph as well as the neighboring Dafin from Daf Lamed through Daf Lamed Hay. The story was that early on one Shabbos morning, our friend, let's call him Yitzchak, had a 2-year-old son who was unfortunately having a very hard time breathing. Reluctant to be Mechal Shabbos, he went knocking on the neighbor's drawers and he found a Jew that had a nebulizer across the street. For those that are not familiar, a nebulizer is a machine which enables people that are having a hard time breathing breathe much easier and could actually save somebody's life, Chas V'Shalom, from having trouble breathing. In any event, this fellow went across the street to borrow the neighbor's nebulizer. He thought originally that he'll be able to take the 2-year-old across the street, but in the end he actually ended up bringing the nebulizer across the street in Rishos HaRabim on Shabbos, and lo and behold, the nebulizer got damaged. And of course, it was still able to save the life of the young child, but Yitzchak was still concerned whether or not he has to pay for the damages of the nebulizer. So in a nutshell, he was being Mechal Shabbos in order to do Pikuach Nefesh for his son, with the nebulizer carrying it across the street, and it got damaged on the way because he was dragging it on the floor, and he wants to know, is he Chayev or Potter? Now, the Chil Shabbos that was happening over here, which would have to do with our topic of Kim Levi D'Rav Minei, actually was happening after he borrowed it. He borrowed it in the house of the neighbor, and then later he carried it across the street. So it really wasn't at the same time. This has a lot to do with the sugi later on the Flama Dalad, a machlekes, if when does a shoyl become obligated in Oinsin and Hezekis? Is it Mishas Mashicha or is it Mishas Oinus? In other words, is it at the time when he actually made the acquisition as a borrower, in other words a shoyl, or was it at the time that he gets responsible, is the time that he gets responsible, I should say, is when the actual damage has happened, that's when he becomes obligated. If that would be the case, then it would be simple to say Kam Levi D'Ravine. However, if he becomes obligated Mishas Mashicha at the time when he actually took it from the Mashal, from the person who lent it to him, then perhaps we could wonder that it was prior to the Kam Levi D'Ravine of the Chil Shabbos. However, the Gemara says from Rav Ashi over there that nevertheless there would be Kim Levi D'Ravine, even though it happened later. However, the truth of the matter is we have to wonder b'chlal if Kim Levi D'Ravine would apply in this scenario. For we know that Kim Levi D'Ravine means that one is not going to become a chuyiv to pay damages or other chiyuvim to a fellow in a scenario where there's a chiyuv mitzvah at the same time. Here, however, there's obviously no chiyuv mitzvah. This person is practically doing a mitzvah of pikuach nefesh. He's not doing any aver of chil Shabbos chas v'shalom. He's supposed to do this. So So first of all, we begin with the famous Chizkiyah that says that even if there's no Chiyuv Misa, because he did it B'Shegig, for example, there still would be Kim Lebedir Adminei. And that means that even if there's no Chiyuv Misa actually, but it is a deed, an action, that would normally have a Chiyuv Misa, would it have been B'Mezid, there would still be Kim Lebedir Adminei. That's Chizkiyah's Chiddush. It's brought down later on the Flamet Hay, and it's a famous Deya about Kim Lebedir Adminei. Now, that being said, what about when it's an oinus? The fellow has to do this for Bikuach Nefesh. It's not just a Shagigin, which passes Maman according to Chizkiyah, it's Chayv Emises Oinsen. So although, if you look on the Flamet Hay over there, where the Gemara learns out this rule, that Chayv Emises Shagigin is also part of Maman, Rashi and the Taisi Svid both throw in over there in the Gemara that an oinus is included in that as well, which would apparently seem that an oinus is also part of Maman, and hence in our scenario, Kam Levi Rabbanei would definitely apply. However, back on the Flamet Omud Beis over here, we just had that Chayv Emises Oinsen seemed to be Chayv in Maman, because the Gemara says in the scenario where the fellow put the truma deep into his throat, the Gemara asks, am I Chayv Misa? Onus who? And it sounds like, since he's an onus, therefore, there should be a Chayv Maman, there shouldn't be Kam Levi Derav Minei. And that is the Shita Yishan over there in the Shita Mekubetzis, as well as Rabbi Kiva Eger's point, that Chayv Emises Oinsen should be Chayv in Maman. So without going into the whole situation and how this stems with the Rishonim and the Flamet Hay, about whether Chayv Emises Oinsen are Chayv or Potter, Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky over there on the Flamet also discusses this, and Rabbi Chanan actually discusses it in Chayv Shirim as well, if Chayv Emises Oinsen is Chayv or Potter. But however, it definitely does seem that there's a tzad that Chayv Emises Oinsen won't be Potter from Maman. Interestingly enough, that discussion is only about regular Chayv Emises Oinsen. For example, if somebody is forced to do a Chayv Misa Oinsen, for example, when the fellow over there on the Flamet Amid Beis stuffed the truma down his friend's throat, that's a scenario where he's doing a Misa that is obligated in Misa. However, he's being forced, he's not doing it willfully. Our scenario is very different. Our scenario is not just a regular Oinsen. Our scenario is that he's doing Pikuach Nefesh. Now, it's a famous machlokes rishonim all over, if pikuach nefesh is hutra or tchuya, which simply means, is it mutter to do this completely, it's not even any trace of an isser whatsoever, or yes, it's a chil shabbos, yes, it's an isser, however, it is an isser that one is permitted to push aside for the purpose of saving a Jewish life, like the Torah tells us from B'chaibahem, and so on. Now, it's interesting that you could actually look at this on both sides of the coin. On the one hand, we could say that even if Chayv Emises Oinsen is Potter from Maman, but maybe if Pikuach Nefesh is Tchuya, perhaps you would be Chayv in Maman. And on the flip side, you could say the exact opposite. That even if, you can also say that even if Chayv Emises Oinsen is Potter from Maman, like Shagigin, but maybe Pikuach Nefesh is Hutra, it's not even a Maisa that's Chayv Misa altogether, and maybe it would actually be Chayv in Maman, lo and behold, because the Maisa has nothing to do with Mitzu. So it's interesting that we find in the Michas Chinuch, a Mitzvah Reish Tzadik Vav, Ois Chavav, he assumes that one is doing Pikuach Nefesh is going to be Chayv in Maman, whether it's Hutra or Tchuya. The Yaivitz, however, in the new Gemara from the Agayis V'Chidushim and Ksubas Taflamet Hei, holds that someone who's involved in Pikuach Nefesh will always be Potter for a moment because of Kamlev the Rav Minei, and so I found in the Chalkas Yaivitz Agayis on the Minchas Chinuch. Still another hurdle of controversy with regard to whether this fellow who borrows a nebulizer, in all scenarios obviously, where someone is Michal Shabbos, and he's Mazik at the same time when his Chil Shabbos was for Pikuach Nefesh, whether he's Potter for Kamlev the Rav Minei or not. Another twist that we can add to this is the famous Shaila about Malacha She'ein Tzrich L'Gufa and Makalkal. There's a famous Rashi in Baba Kama Daf Lamed Hei that seems to hold that Makalkal, which means a Maisa Malacha of Chil Shabbos, which we know is Potter when it wasn't done for a purpose but rather a destructive Malacha, is not really a Malacha that is Chayiv, according to most. And therefore, it shouldn't really have a Chiv Misa. Rashi, however, seems to hold that nevertheless, it's Potter for Maman. The truth of the matter is that Shita of Rashi can also be found in the Yerushalmi and Bama Madlikin in the second parak of Shabbat Halacha Ches. The Achrayim and even Taisus on the Flamet Hay take issue with this concept that Malacha Shein Tzrich L'Gufa or Makalkal should be Potter for Maman, but that is definitely Rashi's opinion. Interestingly enough, one of the big questions on this Rashi is from our Gemara. Hazarik Ches Mitchilas Dal V'Seif Dal V'Kara Shirai V'Ali Chosoi is Chayiv, except for the fact that it's Kam Levi D'Rav Minei. Why didn't the Gemara discuss that there should be Chil Shabbos because of the Kriya itself? In other words, without a Kiri Tzarech Hanacha, the Kriya itself the Maisa Kriya of the fellow's Beged took place on Shabbos. Why are we discussing about Dalet Amos and whether it's Akira Sarah Hanukkah or not? The actual ripping of the Beged itself was a Malacha. So even though it was a Mekalkel, but according to Rashi, there's Kam Levi D'Ramine on that. That's a big question on Rashi. And in any event, that's Rashi's opinion. In fact, the Torah paskins with regard to Chayvul B'Chaveroi that he's Potter for a moment. On the other hand, the Torah seems to paskin that a Malach Hashem Tzrichu L'Gufa is Potter. And if that's the case, then L'Chayvul should be Chayv a moment. So the Magen Avraham and Simon Reish Ayin Ches brings down this Kasha, B'Shem the Sefer Tal Oiris, and he wants to say that it was a suffix in the Torah while to paskin, and therefore with regard to the moment he potted, also Meisa Mechaber Olav Araya. However, with regard to the Chiv Misa, it's also going to be potter since it's a Sveika Dedina. Ayin Shama, the Magen Avraham and Simon Reish Ayin Ches, and this has a lot to do with what we discussed back on Daf Laman and Daf Chavtes about Suffolk Kim Levi D'Ravimine, because he seems to be saying that Suffolk Kim Levi D'Ravimine is potter. However, when I presented this question from the Magen Avraham B'Shem the Tal Oiris to my Rebbe, Rebbe Yishvei Zecher Tzadik Livracha, he right away instantly told me that according to this Rashi that holds Malach Hashem Tzrichu L'Gufa is potter for a moment, even though it's potter, it's going to be Miyusha, because he holds that you're potter for a moment because it's a Malach Hashem Tzrichu L'Gufa. However, nevertheless, Malach Hashem Tzrichu L'Gufa is potter. And later on I found that the Yeshua Smalki from Rabbi Sheila Kutner says the same terms. Now, if that would be the real teretz in the Torah, like they're suggesting, then we would have a right that the Torah actually holds halacha l'maisa, that malach hashein tzrich l'gufa, and who adin mekalkel and the likes, should be potter for a moment. And hence, we would have another piece of the puzzle to perhaps suggest that even though a maisa of pikuach nefesh doesn't have much of a trace of a chiv misa, it's actually a mitzvah and everything, and it's not much related to a maisa that's mechil Shabbos with chiv misa, still it might have been potter for a moment. However, one could still argue that a Maisa Pikuach Nefesh is more removed from Misa than even a Malach Hashem Tzrich L'Gufa. And hence, it definitely wouldn't part of the moment. Getting back to our sugya, however, I think there's an obvious reason why Kim Levi D'Ravmine shouldn't apply over here. And that is because the Gemara said to Terutzim, like we mentioned, the first teretz was that the chalev is possible to eat without stealing it, whereas the shirayin was not possible to rip without the akira and the hanocha, and therefore it's all part of one action. If that's the case, so basically when you say akira, tzarech hanocha, and they're not connected, then they are connected, excuse me, then there's kol ledravmini, but if they're not connected, then there's no kol ledravmini. So perhaps in our scenario, there would be akira, tzarech hanocha, because obviously you can't get to the other side, and in the middle of the road, without doing the whole mice of the chil Shabbos. However, according to the second teretz, which answers that it depends if it's Baila Duri or not, that if you could retract, then there's no Kamal Yudavani, like in the case of the Chelev. L'chera, our case is not like Zrikas Achet, where you can't pull back. Our case is where somebody carried a nebulizer across the street. And since he could have stopped at any given time, the second teretz should lead us to paskin in our scenario that there's no Akira Tzarech Hanukkah and no Kamal Yudavani. And it seems to the opinion of most that that's how we paskin like the second teretz. So although there is a little bit of a controversy in the case of Mishnah and Reb Chaim Brisker and others, that perhaps the Rambam passing like the first teretz, which would lead us to say there should be Kim Levi D'Ravmine in our case. However, most are of the opinion that we go with the second teretz of the Gemara, that it's Tali and Yochel Aduri or not. And since one carrying an item across the street is able to stop at any given time and go back, and the Maisa does not have to continue, therefore, L'chari, we wouldn't say Akira Tzarech Hanocha, and we would not say Kim Levi D'Ravmine. However, one final note I must add is based on the Gemara in Sanhedrin Daf Ayin Dalel that says that if somebody is involved in Pikuach Nefesh and Atolos Nefashes and saving somebody's life, there seems to have been a Takonas Chazal that he shouldn't have to pay for any damages that he incurs during the saving, because otherwise people might be preventative and hesitant to do the proper Zrizus and Hishtalus that they need to save somebody's life. So therefore they just said anybody who's involved in saving other people's lives should not have to pay for any damages from what he does while he's involved in that. And the Nesivis in Siman Ayin Beis, Sifkat and Yadzayin in the middle, seems to bring this down very seriously, Ladina, that someone who's involved in saving lives, and he does damages in the middle of his actions, is not going to have to pay. That being said, I would venture to say that perhaps our friend Yitzchak over here, who was carrying the nebulizer across the street on Shabbos, was involved in Piguach Nefesh and Atzalos Nefashos, and perhaps for that reason alone, he should be potter from the Hezek that happened, even though it was a borrowed item, it wasn't something that he just, oh by the way, damaged, but l'chayra, the same rule should apply. And although the Sefer HaChayshin and his Meshayev Nesivis over there in parentheses argues that the din of the nesivus wouldn't apply in our scenario where he actually borrowed something, only if he owed, by the way, inadvertently broke something while he was running to save, otherwise he wouldn't have the p'tor. Perhaps the p'tor wouldn't apply in our case, that takanas chazal of Sanhedrin by atzalos nefashos would not apply in our scenario, and he would have to pay for the damages. However, in light of the nesivus, it would be very hard to be mechayev the shoyel. This being said, there is still an interesting discussion. What if the marshal, the owner of the nebulizer, tells Yitzchak, he says, listen, great story, but you have to prove to me that there was pikuach nefesh, otherwise you got to pay me for the damaged item. So if it was because of the nesivus, he would obviously have to prove it, otherwise he's a regular mazik and he has to pay, or a shoyel that was nenas or less, and he has to pay. However, if it's about kam lev d'rabanei, that might already perhaps be contingent on that we discussed back on Daf Chavtes on Daf Lamed. If one is not obligated to pay for money when there was a chiv mis at the same time, then there's maybe a suffix in the whole mechuyiv of the moment and the whole chiv. Or, more likely, is that there's definitely a chiv moment and there's a question if there's a p'tor or not. So then, all in all, he would definitely have to prove that there was pikuach nefesh involved. Just wanted to mention that food for thought.
The Daf Yomi Halacha series has been brought to you by the Beis Havad Halacha Center. To sign up for the Halacha Center's weekly interactive e-journal, please email subscribe to info@thehalachacenter.org.